We are glad you came today. We're believing that God's going to do amazing things in people's heart. We gather every single weekend because we want to encourage you in your faith. You know, faith can be difficult sometimes, can it? I mean, things come into our life, seasons come into our life, challenges, circumstances, all of those kinds of things. And the Bible says that, you know, God desires for us to remain faithful to him because he's going to carry us all the way to the end. And so today what we want to do is we want to encourage that faith that you have in the finished work of Jesus and his return here to earth. Come on, somebody. So we live in a dispensation where Jesus has come once, but we're believing that he's coming again. Come on. Yeah. And so we want to remain faithful until he returns. And today we're going to talk a little bit about doing that and how to remain faithful. You know, in order to remain faithful, you got to have this thing called endurance. It's endurance in your life to press through the challenges that come your way. Now, this week I've met with numerous people who have challenges. There's people who have health challenges, and we're praying for those health challenges, right? We have people who have family challenges, and we're praying for those family and relationship challenges. We have, you know, people that are having financial crises in their life, and we're praying that they could just press through and get through those particular things. There's people who have you know, addictions and things that have strongholds on them that are striving to hold them back from reaching their God potential. And we're praying that those things would be broken so they could move forward. But more so than all of those things to be taken off of people, we need to encourage and pray for people's endurance to get through whatever challenges they're going through in life, because God wants people to finish the race of faith. Come on. Yeah, and today we're gonna talk a little bit about that. As a matter of fact, one of the New Testament writers, his name was Paul, he had a lot to say about finishing. And I wanna read a few scriptures. He says this in Philippians to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race. In other words, I don't want to just start the race. I don't want to just come out of the starting blocks. And we want to help people start the race of faith. We're the kind of church that, you know, we're inviting people to come and see what God could do in their life, right? As a matter of fact, you should have gotten some invite cards there on your seat when you came in today. A little bundle of them, they look a lot like this, right? And what these are is a lot of times people will start investigating the things that Jesus can do in their life whenever they come to a service. So this Easter, we're kicking off a new teaching series called Come and See. And we're inviting you to go out and invite friends, you know, neighbors, those you come in contact with, invite them to come and see what God's gonna do in their life on Resurrection weekend. Come on. Yeah, you got a bundle of these invite cards. There's more available for you in the lobby, but we want to encourage you to grab some of those. Easter's coming right up, and get some of those so that you can invite people to come and see. And though we want many people to come and see what God could do in their life, we also want to encourage them as they do this journey to finish the race. See, Paul says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? He says, so what? Run to win. Be determined. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. In other words, like a trophy at the end of a race. He says, but we do it for an eternal prize. We do it for a prize that will never fade away. Come on. And so he says, man, endure with your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says it this way. He says, the time of death is near for me. He says, and I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Again, we're living in a time period where the cross of Christ has already happened. The Messiah, the liberator, has come once. He broke the penalty of sin at the cross. He resurrected from a grave so you and I could have power over sinful things in our life on the journey, come on. But my Bible says that he's gonna return again. You need to be looking forward to the return of Christ. And maybe it's nearer today, come on, than it was yesterday. Maybe it's nearer today than ever before. And what I want to declare to you today is you got to hang on to your faith. God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And he is going to return. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing experience for all of those who have faith in the Lord Jesus. And he says, and the prize is not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. And so really my aim is to encourage you to endure to the end and be one of these people who are eagerly looking forward to Jesus' return. But in reality, I know there's an enemy that wants to steal your joy, that he wants to take away all vision out of your heart. He wants you to live in slumber. He desires for you to just settle right where you are, to stay in place and never expect more. But God desires for us to look forward, in spite of what's happening, to look forward by faith in the things that are still yet to come. And in order for you to look forward to what is still yet to come, what you have to do is you have to have this thing called endurance. And so today I'm going to talk about how to develop your spiritual endurance. Not just your physical endurance, because we develop physical endurance by training and doing those kind of things, by getting inspiration, motivation, all of those kind of things. And we can go out and we can do the wind sprints and all of those things to gain physical endurance. But today I'm talking about spiritual endurance. In other words, keep you in the race. Because there's an enemy that wants to crush your spirit. He wants to take your spirit and suppress it in such a way that you're not alive in Christ Jesus doing great things daily. So in order to get this endurance, I really want to focus in on a passage of scripture in your Bible, and it's Hebrews chapter 12. But first of all, what is endurance? Well, the definition of endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. So endurance is the ability to withstand hardships and adversity, to get through them, to not quit, to not pull off to the side. And again, in order to do that, We have to set our eyes on some things out in front of us. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12 writes this. He says, therefore, since I just listed a whole group of people who should inspire your faith in Hebrews chapter 11 is what he's saying. He says, since we are surrounded by this such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, I just talked about them, he said. You can go home and read about these incredible people who had a life of faith in Hebrews 11. He says, now let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, the Bible says, he endured the cross and disregarded its shame. Goes on to say, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured for sinful people. For sinful people, and then you won't become weary and you won't give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in the struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when God corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you, and as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who discipline us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers discipline us for a few years, doing the best they know how. But God disciplines us. Discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest, right living for those who are trained in this way. So he says, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but they will become strong. So he reminds us, not only do we need to endure with our faith, but our faith has a purpose. And our faith in God through the hardships and the difficult moments can inspire others around us to rise up and become who God has created them to be. So as adversity comes in this world, I want you to know, it's an opportunity for the church. Come on. It's an opportunity for the church to step up and be who God calls us to be. It's not a time to shrink back. It's a time to step forward. But if you're going to be part of the church that steps forward by faith, you have to develop endurance. You have to develop endurance before the hardships are coming at you, before, you know, the difficult moments are coming after you. That's what'll help you get through these particular things. So I just want to give you some pointers today about how to develop spiritual endurance based on this passage. And number one is, I wrote it down this way, we need to get some inspiration. Everybody say inspiration. Because inspiration can really help us go the distance whenever we begin to question things in our mind. And really what he says in the beginning parts of this passage here in Hebrews 12, he says, since I've just given you a whole list of people, inspiring people who had faith in God in difficult circumstances, challenging circumstances, what seemed wild and crazy circumstances. Since I just gave you a whole list of those people, go and read about those people and let those people's faith inspire your faith. In other words, let them be role models for your faith. See, you, that's one of the important things about looking back at what God has done through people's life that were underneath a lot of pressure. It's because when you look back at their life and those people become real in your heart and you begin to understand the same God that delivered them through these circumstances and situations is the same God that will deliver you. But the Bible says these people were filled with great faith, incredible faith. And there's a whole list of them there in Hebrews chapter 11. But just to kind of name a few of them, it says, you know, one of them's name was Abel. And Abel believed God as a provider. The Bible says that his his offering was more acceptable to God than Cain's offering. Why was it more acceptable than Cain's offering? Because they both made offerings. But Abel, the Bible says, brought his first and his best to God. And then it goes on to say that Cain brought some of his crops. In other words, Abel was believing God provider by faith, not based on what he saw in his hands, but based on who God was. And so he wasn't waiting for God to send him some more and then give God some. No, he believed God was going to send all in the future. And so by faith, he trusted him. He brought his first and he brought his best. Come on, somebody. Not just some of the offering. See, this is important because that's living by faith as God as a provider. You know, whenever we talk about bringing, you know, a tithe into the local church, that's what we're saying. We're not saying just bring it because you know, God asked you to bring it. We're saying bring it because it's a way for you to worship God as provider. And I find this an incredible opportunity for us to really look at our life. Are we trusting God by faith? Do we really believe he'll show up? Do we step into a certain things and believe that God's gonna do what he says he's gonna do? And again, it's believing God before he acts. See, that's what faith does. It's not just believing something in the past. It's believing that God is going to come through in the circumstance and in the situation and believing it with your heart. Goes on to talk about Noah. Anybody know who Noah is? He's the idiot that built the ark. At least that's what everybody thought. Come on, because he's outside building a boat for animals to get on because God said so. And he believed God. And it had never rained before. Now just think about that. What in the world are you building a boat on dry ground for and nobody even knew what rain was? He's considering what God said in spite of nobody had ever done it before. And so people look at him crazy. Like the Bible says they're just kind of going about their everyday life. They're busy. But all of a sudden, this man named Noah has faith that God is going to do something, that God has given him warning about what he's going to do. And so he starts building an ark. Everybody around him considers him crazy. But he had faith in God, so he carried through with the assignment. Yes. He did it. He did it in spite of what everybody else thought. And the Bible lists him in Hebrews 11 because he is to be inspiration to us to step into things that maybe nobody has ever done in order to display our faith in God so God can work in us and work through us into other people's life. See, we're always looking around and saying, has anybody ever done this before? Well, maybe they haven't. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't still want to do it. See, you got to be willing to listen to God first. And you have to be willing to go against the grain of the cultural norm sometimes. Because that's exactly what Noah did. Noah wasn't following culture. He was developing culture. In other words, he was following God. And what his inspiration was he had faith in God and he wanted to listen to God, but everybody didn't get on Noah's boat, let's call it. But Noah kept going forward anyway. In other words, Noah probably wasn't the most popular person in his particular day, but he heard from God and he did what the assignment was. In spite of what everybody else thought. I want to encourage you to live a holy life, a set apart life, for God to do amazing things in you and through you, in spite of what you see. you know, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is what has God said about your calling and about you, and I want you to step into it. Hebrews is full of all of these remarkable people who live by faith. Moses, he's listed in there. Everybody knows who Moses is. Have you ever been around church at all? Because Moses is the one that led the Israelites out of Egypt. But what's remarkable is Moses chose, he chose not to be underneath the household of Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. He was in the household of Pharaoh, but he chose to go with his people who were oppressed by Pharaoh. In other words, he chose to put this royalty to the side because he had it. He was in the household of Pharaoh, but he chose to put it aside in order to go among his people. Come on. To help those people come out of slavery. It sounds like somebody I know, doesn't it? Which is Jesus. He's a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. Jesus would leave royalty and he would step among his people to lead people out of slavery. Come on, somebody. And this King Jesus is to be a picture, or Moses is to be a picture of our King Jesus. But Moses made a choice in spite of what he had. My friend, because he had faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. Come on. Faith isn't always easy, but faith can be inspired if you continue to get these heroes of faith in your heart. And when you go through the difficult moments, just remember, God's brought other people through it. He's going to bring you through it too. And though the enemy may have meant it for harm, listen up, God can use it for good. But the key is continually have faith that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. He is going to deliver. He is going to return. He's promised it. He's coming back. And so get this inspiration in your heart. The second thing I wrote about having endurance, getting to the end of the race with our faith, is I wrote it down this way. I don't only need inspiration, I need to learn the thought processes of elimination. In other words, you need to eliminate some things in your life in order to keep going sometimes. Amen. To keep going by faith. And the writer writes it this way. Hebrews 12, verse 1, he says, strip off every weight that slows us down. Come on. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And so he says, sometimes you got to eliminate some things from your life in order to keep moving forward with the things that God has in store for you. You got to keep it light, let's call it. But we do. We live in a culture that weighs us down with all kinds of things, right? With what I call busyness. It's a weight. It's a weight that is on many people's life. I'm too busy. You know, Jesus told a whole parable to people who were too busy. And what he says is, listen, don't start following me until you consider the cost. Because I'm not looking for somebody that just starts building something. I'm looking for somebody who finishes it. Come on. And Jesus says you need to count the cost for something that is going to happen. And so Jesus, he just turns to a whole bunch of people, crowds of people that were following him. And he says, look, a builder would never start building a building until he counted the cost, because he may not have enough money to finish the building. He may just have enough money to finish the foundation and never finish the building, then the people around him would laugh at him. He says, here's the same thing. He says, look, don't be too busy to follow me. And he says, matter of fact, consider what it's gonna take to follow me. because there was people up in the context of that conversation above him where Jesus had invited them to a great banquet, but all of them were too busy. They were too busy to come. I'm busy, I gotta go get married. I'm busy, I gotta go tend to my farm. I'm busy, I gotta go tend to this, I gotta go tend to that. I'm too busy to come to the banquet. And Jesus says, well, go out and invite some people who will come. And he kept inviting. The point of this is this, is don't let busyness become such a weight that it destroys your life of faith. I once heard an old preacher say that busyness is an acronym for meaning being under Satan's yoke. Come on. Amen. It's just being so busy that you don't have time to move forward with the things of faith that God calls you to move forward with. We all have the tendency to get so busy that we don't consider our faith getting to the end of the race. And I'm just inviting you, you know what? Maybe strip some of that off. Evaluate what your life in Christ really is. Evaluate the purpose of your life. Evaluate why you know what, you're here on the planet. And then let everything revolve around that idea. Don't let things get you so busy that they entangle you and just hold you back from the future that God has for you. He says, but here's the deal. He says, be sure to strip off that sin that easily trips you up. In other words, if you know it's gonna trip you up, just stay away from it. I mean, don't just step towards the temptation. If you know it's gonna make you fall, don't just try to get as close to the edge with it. No. God says, stay away from it. Put some boundaries in your life. Come on, somebody. Begin to think forward before you get in the situation. Because we got to learn to run the race and do what God has called us to do and get to the end of the race. And so I'm, you know, constantly evaluating, what do I need to eliminate? Not what I just need to add, but what do I need to eliminate as I add more of God's purpose and design into my heart and into my life? See, if you're gonna have endurance, you gotta strip off some things that weigh you down. And then also here in this passage, it's not only inspiration, it's not only, you know, elimination. I wrote it down this way because it rhymes. Come on, somebody. But it takes determination. Determination. And my friend, if you're gonna be determined to get to the end of the race of faith, you have to first and foremost believe that God is for you and not against you. Yes. Come on. He's for you, not against you. The things happening in your life, it doesn't mean that God's not for you. The things that are happening in your life just simply means that we haven't reached perfection yet. And we live in a broken world. And sin has entered this world. And there's painful and hurtful things that are going to go on in your life. But God is there. And he is for you, and he will get you through it. But you have to get it in your heart and in your head that God is not against you. He is completely for you. Paul wrote the church at Philippi, and he says this in Philippians 1:6. He says, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He says, I am sure that God, the God who began the work of faith in you, he will see it through to completion. Hang on to faith. God is for you. He is not against you. And so a lot of times what God will do to help you get to the end of the race is he will discipline you as his child. Hebrews 12 talks a lot about God's discipline. No, it says God disciplines those he loves. But we live in a culture where discipline comes our way, we're thinking, though, you know, somebody's mad at me, or they don't love me, they just wanna hurt me. Well, it says there in the Bible that discipline hurts whenever it's happening, but it's for your benefit to help you move forward. I think of it this way, you know, like when athletes are playing in a game, a team sport, and the referee, he throws a penalty. They're like, man, why did you penalize me? It hurts my team. Yeah, it did. But in the end, you know what? It helps the game, and it helps all the players become better, and it helps, it can help them all grow in playing the sport. And what we need to understand is God puts disciplines in place, not to destroy us, but to help us and elevate us and help us reach our destiny. And so God puts boundaries in place. Here in this passage of scripture, it says, who's ever heard of a child never being disciplined by his father, his earthly father? And in the context of when this was written, there was probably a lot more discipline going on in the household than there probably is today. But the reality of it is this: discipline helps. Yes, yes, Lord. It helps us grow. It helps us do greater things. You know, I've used this illustration before, but I remember when I was 6 years old. When I was 6 years old, my family, we went on vacation, and we went to the mountains of North Georgia. And my mom and dad, because we were there for about a week, and they decided to go to a laundromat and wash their clothes. And there was a little convenience store right down the little highway from where they were washing the clothes in the laundromat. And I said, hey, can I go get some candy up at the little store? Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. And so as I headed towards that store, you know, what happened was, a big tractor trailer truck was coming down the highway, and I was walking on this side of the road, and it was coming that way, and I was headed this way, and all of a sudden I turned, and I was headed across the road, you know, to go to that store, and I heard my dad scream at the top of his lungs, you know what, don't do it. And then I heard these screeching wheels and all this kind of stuff, because I was about to walk in front of an 18-wheeler truck. And then, you know, he come and he grabbed me and he hugged me, and, you know, he began to discipline me and said, don't you ever, never not look both ways again, and all these kind of things. And, you know, he did it because he cared about me, and he got on to me. And you know what? I learned that even if I don't hear it, I look both ways to see if a car's coming. Why? Because my dad put fear in me, but it was good fear. Come on, somebody. It was fear to help me, not to hurt me. And what you need to understand is oftentimes when somebody is getting up in your grill and getting on your stuff, it might be because they love you and they don't hate you. Come on, somebody. Because God is madly in love with you to help you become better. This is what it means to get in relationship with people in such a way that iron sharpens irons. We're not calling out one another's sins to condemn one another, but to help one another get better. Not to say that we're better than the other person, but you know what? We all want to get better with our faith. And if you're headed for destruction, why would we not talk to one another in such a way to help elevate one another and help build one another up in the faith? God is a God of discipline. Come on. Because he loves us. And so one of the great ways to get to the end of the race is have the determination, but let God bring his discipline into your life, because it will make you better. But also what we have to do is we have to get a focus, if we're going to have the determination to get to the end of the race. And I wrote it down this way. It says it this way in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 33. It says, here's the deal. Think of all the hostility Jesus, he endured for sinful people. Then you won't become weary and you won't give up. In other words, focus on the champion of our faith. Begin to look to him. You know what? And what he went through was a picture for us to know that God can carry us through situations. God can carry us through circumstances to get to the end of the race. And so what we have to do is we have to set our eyes on Jesus, because Jesus is the example to us about how to keep on enduring even when painful things are out in front of you. Because the Bible says, for the joy set before him is what caused him to endure that cross. Can I tell you what that joy was? Well, it was partially that he knew where he was going. It was partially that he knew that he was going back to the Father where he come from. But it was also because as he looked down through eternity, he could see you sitting in this chair today. He could see you in this room today. And he didn't want to live an eternity apart from you being in his family and in relationship with him. So the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the pain of the cross for humanity. In other words, he didn't want humanity to be separated from God by sin for the rest of their life. And so the joy was set before him. He knew if he endured the pain and the shame of that cross, that if he pushed through that, then other people could have faith in God. And people could begin to look to him to move forward with their life. And so as he was looking down through the ages, he looked right here in these seats in 2023, and he saw you and he saw me, and it's the whole reason he decided that he would push through the pain of the cross in spite of the shame and all the things that come with that. He did it because of you. And the Bible says that he needs to be our example. He's the champion of our faith. So why do you keep pushing to get to the end of the race by faith? Is it simply because you know what, you just want to get to heaven one day? Or is it simply because you don't want to live apart from God? Well, that's one of the reasons I keep pushing with my faith. But another reason I keep pushing with my faith, it's because I have the heart of Christ, and I don't want any of us to be left out of what God wants to do in eternity through us. And so the reason we keep pushing is for the next person, and for the next person, and for the wayward person, and for the broken person, and the person that hasn't gotten to the maturity in their faith that you've gotten to. It's saying, I'm gonna keep pushing forward because I wanna bring a host with me into eternity. See, the whole reason that I wanna stay here, because I know it's better there, come on somebody, is for the benefit of those around me. I've had some great experiences here on earth. Don't think I haven't. They've been incredible. I've had some awful experiences too. But the reality of it is this. My focus is on what still is yet to come. And my focus is I don't want anybody around me not to experience it. Come on. I don't want to go there without others. I don't want to check out here without doing all I can to bring everybody with me. Come on, somebody. And so, see, for the joy set before me, because I see us there. I, I see the broken there. I see those who haven't even come into the faith yet there. And so I keep moving forward with my faith because of what I believe about God. I believe God reached me in a dark place. And I believe God can reach the next person in a dark place. So I'm going to keep being inspired in my faith because I have motivation, I have inspiration, I have all of these things that come from God in my heart. And I want to keep going. My friend, I want you to expect more. I want you to expect more for your life, and I want you to expect more for people coming to know who God is. And so I don't want us just to start the race of faith. I want us to finish the race of faith and be who God has designed us to be and bring as many people with us on the journey. And my friends, this is what God is calling his church to be and do, is to be a people that are constantly inviting people to come and see, encouraging them, let's stay on the journey. Let's keep growing as disciples. Let's keep spreading the good news. And so as we get prepared to move into the Easter season, again, I want to invite you to begin to think by faith of the people that are going to come with you. You may even give that card to somebody you don't even know. But I do believe that personal encounter you have at the grocery store with that person you don't know and that face-to-face and you handing them that card can really maybe do something with them. But invite them as if you're expecting God to do something in their heart and life. Not to just come watch a show. Not to just come see a great service here on the weekend. But invite them expecting God to show up in their life. Come on. You got a bundle. You got a little bundle of cards. Begin to expect God to do the amazing in people's life. And let's be a church that invites. And let's finish and finish well. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you so much for the hearts of your people. And God, is sometimes the enemy wants to discourage us. God, I pray for encouragement today. I pray for inspiration. God, I pray for determination. God, I pray for elimination. That all of us would consider what you want to do through us together. And God, may we join our hearts together in unity. May we move forward. May we expect you to do greater things. May we keep taking a step towards the greater influence that you want to give your church. And God, let us not be bound by the things in this earth, but let us receive from an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God, and let us operate by faith in you. God, maybe we've never seen it before, but maybe we're gonna see it out in front of us because God, we're expecting you to do great things. God, we're expecting you to reach into people's hearts. God, we're expecting you to change neighborhoods and communities. God, we're expecting you to sustain us and carry us along the journey. And God, we're expecting you to inspire the world through us. Jesus, thank you for making it all possible. And today, we put faith in you because of your death, burial, and resurrection, and because of your goodness to us. God, we want to be inspired and we want to be motivated in our faith. Jesus, thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.